السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فقد سئل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أي الإيمان أفضل، فقال تطعم السلام وتقرأ السلام على من لم عرفت ومن لم تعرف، أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to carry out certain things, and He has prohibited us from certain things. And within everything He has carried out, there are differing levels of importance. So, out of everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to carry out, there will be the first differentiation will be that there will be some things that are compulsory, and there will be some things that are not compulsory, but they are still rewarding. And those things that are deemed compulsory will be called fard wajib, sunnah muakkada in ordinary circumstances. And those things that are not compulsory, sunnah ghair muakkada, mustahab, nafal. And if you look further into it, then in the things that are compulsory as well, you will see differing levels. For example, Salah is compulsory. But it, as well as being compulsory, it is something that is compulsory and it is extremely important. It is more important than other compulsory commands as well. Zakat is compulsory, but as well as being compulsory, it is of extreme importance as well. It is at the top. And on the other side as well, out of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has discouraged us, first they will be categorized into two. One will be those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has discouraged us to the extent that He has prohibited it. Haram and makruh tahrim. Anything that is haram or anything that is makruh tahrim, that is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has totally prohibited, a person will be sinful. And there is another category that is also discouraged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but to a lesser degree, that is makruh tanzih. And lesser degree means that a person should try to stay away from it. But if he ends up carrying out something that is makruh tanzih, he will not be sinful. Here, as a side note, I should also mention that whenever we come to know that something is makruh, then we should always find out, is it makruh tahrim or makruh tanzih? Because there is a huge difference between the two. Because one is a sin and one is not. Makruh tahrim means it is a sin. It is putting your hereafter in danger. Your jannah, your akhirat in danger. It is earning you the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. And sometimes something that is makruh tahrim can also be a major sin as well. The ulama have clarified this and given examples. And on the other side, makruh tanzih, why it's a person should still try to stay away from it. If he doesn't, then it is not putting his akhirat, his jannah in danger. It is not earning the displeasure of Allah. And the general principle which the fuqaha have is that if something is mentioned that it is makruh and there is no detail, then assume it is makruh tahrimi. So if we ever get to know that something is makruh, then we should try to find out that is it makruh tahrimi, meaning is it prohibited or is it makruh tanzih, which is discouraged. And until we don't find out, we should assume it is makruh tahrimi, that it is a disobedience of Allah. And within those things that here as well, there will be more detail. Within those things that are prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will be some things that are major sins. Drinking alcohol, zina. There will be something that in some ahadith have been called akbarul kabail, the most major of major sins. Like for example, in a hadith of Sayyidina Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says that the most major of major sins, and then he mentions a few. And one of them is to become despondent in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He puts this in this category. So like this, there is differing levels of importance. But at the same time, a person should understand something else as well, which is that every single good deed, we should give it as much importance as we can. We should never ever think about any good deed that is insignificant. And at the same time, any evil deed, any sin, we should never ever think about it. It's insignificant. It's not a big deal if I do it. Why? Because when it comes to good deeds, sometimes supposedly insignificant good deed. No good deed can be called an insignificant good deed. But a supposedly insignificant good deed, something that seems small, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes it so much that He makes it a means of the person directly entering Jannah. A person passed away in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he passed away, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the Sahaba radiallahu anhu glad tidings, good news. And what did he tell them? That I see this person roaming in Jannah. He said that Allah Ta'ala showed me that this person is roaming in Jannah. Because of which good deed? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there was a branch that used to hang over a pathway and it would cause an inconvenience for passers-by. So when he had the opportunity, he cut it and he removed it. So I see him roaming in Jannah because of this. So this is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes He likes a good deed so much. Sometimes He sees that my servant is doing this with total sincerity. Look, we should never ever carry out a sin or leave out the commands of Allah ta'ala and think it is through the mercy of Allah ta'ala, He will let me go into Jannah. He will forgive me. That is dangerous. That is foolishness. Even in this world, we don't take chances like that. Where there is a risk, we do our best to avert the risk. If we are walking through what we know is a dangerous area at night, and we need to walk through it, then we don't think it's only the first time I'm doing it. I'll get away with it. No, no, no. We become alert. We choose those paths that are the most well lit. Even in that area, we think, what is the safest place? What is that place where I can see someone else who is walking as well, so that I have a bit of company? So when it comes to worldly matters, we don't take any risk. So when it comes to our hereafter as well, we should not take a risk and think, I'll get through with the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. That is a deceit from shaitan. But at the same time, there is no denying that the mercy of Allah Ta'ala is very, very vast. And often Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look for excuses to send a person to Jannah. So we should never become despondent of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala as well. I just mentioned that Sayyidina Ibn Mas'ud said becoming despondent from the mercy of Allah Ta'ala is not a major sin. It is in the category of Akbarul Karba'i, the most major of major sins. So when that is the case, then whenever a person gets the opportunity to do any good deed, even if it is something that seems small, something that seems like it has little effort, then a person should do it. And if the thought comes to mind that there are so many commands of Allah Ta'ala that I am not doing, I'm not even performing salah, I have this major sin in my life, that major sin in my life, what use will this good deed do? What use is this good deed? Then a person should understand this is a thought from shaitan. It's possible that good deed is the excuse Allah Ta'ala is looking for to make you enter Jannah. Or it's possible that good deed is the excuse which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking for to give you the tawfiq to change your life. There is a very well-known pious person of the past, a saint of the past, called Bishri Hafi Rahmatullahi. He was alive in the time of Sayyidina of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal Rahmatullahi. And he was such a pious person that Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal Rahmatullahi would go and sit in his gathering. So it is mentioned about him that initially he was an irreligious person, a sinful person. And one day he was walking somewhere and he saw a scrap of paper on the ground. He saw a scrap of paper on the ground. So he picked it up. He looked at it, and it had the name of Allah in it. Either Bismillah or some other phrase that had the name of Allah Ta'ala within it. So he picked it up, he cleaned it out of respect. And he went to a shop, he bought some perfume, he perfumed it. He went home and he put it in a respectful place, a high place. Not a very great good deed, you and I would think. And not the one that requires a lot of effort either. That night, he saw a dream. And in the dream, a voice said to him that I am a messenger from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that you have perfumed his name, you have honored his name. Allah ta'ala will honor your name in this world and the hereafter. And that became the changing point in his life, and he became a very great wali and saint of Allah ta'ala. So no good deed should be looked at with insignificance, however sinful a person thinks he is. And on the other side, no evil deed should be looked at with insignificance as well. It is possible that evil deed takes a person on the path and it takes him further and further away from deen. Sometimes the shaitan needs one evil deed to open the door. Now what I actually wish to discuss today is that there are these differing levels of importance. And all of them have importance. Some of them are important, and it's not correct to say that some commands of Allah Ta'ala are less important and some are more important. No, some are important and others are more important. But out of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes it happens that in our culture, there is a command, there is a part of deen which in our culture, it's not deemed to be very important. Whereas in light of the Quran, the Ahadith, and the culture of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, we find that it is very important. And one example of this is salam. In our culture, when it comes to salam, it's a good deed. Those of us who have some religious worry as well, we think yes, it's a good deed. We did, but we don't think it is something very important. When someone mentions salah, we think very, very important. When we hear of the tilawah of the glorious Quran, we understand it is important, even if we're not doing it. So as a result, we think I should be doing it. Going to the masjid, we understand it is important, even if we don't do it. So we think I should be doing it, and we think as well that inshallah I will do it. And when Ramadan comes, then we think this is a deed I need to do. When it comes to salam, even if we do it or we don't do it, we don't think it's a big deal. Whereas in the hadith which I mentioned to you, a man came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked, Ayyul imani afdal? Which of the qualities, which of the actions of iman are the best? Now, there are a number of actions which are termed, you know, the best amal. There is a whole category. In light of the hadith, we understand that these are the top level of amal. And a number of different amal fall in there. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever someone would, multiple times this happened, that some sahabi came and asked this question. Sahaba radiallahu anhu had a lot of zeal to please Allah Ta'ala. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, looking at the circumstances, looking at what this person is, who this person is, he would mention one or two good deeds that fall in that top category. He would never mention the whole list, because the whole list is about 20, 30 good deeds. And if you mention 20, 30 good deeds in one go to someone, it's difficult to remember. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned one or two to someone. So if someone, for example, someone would come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked which action is the best. So depending on the person, the circumstances, he would say salah, because that's all in the top category. Another time someone came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked which good deed is the best. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, looking at the circumstances, maybe he thought to himself, maybe he understood that this is a time where there is a real need for people to fight in the path of Allah Ta'ala. The Muslims are in danger. So he said, fight in the path of Allah. A third person came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, what is the best deed? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, looking at his circumstances, realized that, you know, his parents are in need of service. So he said, birrul walidain, serving your parents, because that is also in that top category. So all of these deeds are in that top category. But according to whoever who came, what time he came, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned one or two or three deeds to him. So in this narration, someone came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked a question. On this occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tut'imu at-ta'am, feeding people, وَتَقْرَأُ السَّلَامَ عَلَى مَنْ عَرَفْتَ وَمَنْ لَمْ تَعْرِفُ. and doing salam to whoever you see, whether you recognize them or not. Meaning these two amal are also in the top category. So salah is in there, fighting in the path of Allah Ta'ala is there, and next to them in that category, maybe there is a bit of a difference, but in that top category is also salah. And when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he left Makkah Mukarramah, he did hijrah, he migrated to Medina Munawwara. So the news had reached already. Many Muslims had already reached there before Nabi Sallallahu, they had left before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and reached. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was one of the latter people to leave. So news had already reached there. So close to the arrival of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, every day, a very large number of Muslims in Medina Munawwara would come to the outskirts, in the direction of Makkah Mukarramah, to wait that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going to come. Most of them, especially the Ansar, hadn't even seen Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam yet. So they had heard so much about him, but they hadn't seen him. So you can understand what the condition of their hearts would be, how much anticipation they had. So this happened for a few days. And then the day came when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is arriving. And once again they are waiting. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reaches. And Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu anhu, he is also there, one of the inhabitants of Medina Munawwara. At that time he hadn't accepted Islam yet, but he had also come out to see. So such a large gathering, waiting in anticipation. And at that time Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam delivers his first advice. Many of these are new faces, totally new faces. So you can imagine how important this first advice is. Everyone is listening, ears open. So this opportunity of advice is extremely valuable. What advice does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam give at this time? He gives three things. He says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, afshu salam. The first thing he gives is spread salam. And the second advice, وَأَطْعِمُ طَعَامًا, feed people. Feed people means feed the poor and feed guests, other people as well. And the third command, وَصَلُّوا بِالنَّاسِ وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامًا, and perform salah at night when people are sleeping, meaning perform the tahajjud salah. And out of that list, the first is salah. So this is how much importance Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave to salah. And from the ahadith, we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly also gives so much importance to salah. When Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was created. So when Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was created, you can imagine he is the first human. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through wahi, through revelation, gave him advice, guidance, direction in every part of life. Not just dini matters, worldly matters as well. How to farm, things like that. That was after he reached. And in Jannah, many commands of deen were also inspired to him. But when it came to the command of salam, of greeting, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of directly inspiring it to show its importance, he said to Adam alayhi salam that, look, over there in Jannah there is a group of angels sitting there. You go over there. When you go over there, I will inspire you with how to greet them, and they will greet you as well. And through that conversation, you will understand what the greeting of your progeny is going to be. And when he went there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired him to say assalamu alaikum, and they replied saying assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Why did Allah Ta'ala do it? Allah Ta'ala could have just inspired Adam and Salam straight away to show him the importance, to make sure he doesn't forget. That's by means of this incident he will remember. So, salam is extremely important. Now, let us finish off by mentioning a few details about salam. Where should salam be done? So, the first place salam should be done is when we greet someone. And here we have just mentioned that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that salam should be done when you greet someone, whether you know them or you don't. In fact, Sayyidina Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says in another hadith that it is one of the signs of the approaching of the Day of Judgment is that people stop doing salam to those people who they don't recognize. They restrict salam to who they recognize. And we see that is common. In our time, it is more common that someone who you don't recognize will avoid doing salam with you. So, let us do salam to every person. The second point, as far as possible, let us initiate the salam. Let us be the one to say salam first. Why? Because this is also more rewarding. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in another hadith of Abu Dawud Sharif that the one who says salam first, he is closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the pious people of the past paid a lot of attention to this. In fact, there are many people of the past that it was known about them that you don't beat them when it comes to saying salam. It's difficult. They will always be the first to say salam. And regarding this, there is an incident mentioned as well that Azam Mawla Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi, when he was a student in Darul Uloom Deoband, so at that time the head ustad, the senior ustad, was Mawla Qasim Nanutvi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. And it was known about him that no student can even beat him to say in salam. So like I said, we will understand how important we think. What if we, number one, we don't even give importance to salam, and if salam, then you know whether I say salam first or not. No, these people had so much zeal to do supposedly little things like this as well. So Mawla Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah is still a student, but look at his mindset. He thought to himself that no one beats Ustad to say salam first, but I am going to beat him. So what did he do? He made a plan. He studied the route that Mawla Qasim Sahib takes at lunchtime, when he is going to supervise the Darul Uloom. He had his route to go through the entire Darul Uloom, starts here, and then slowly walk through. He studied it. And he found a place in the route where he can hide behind some barrier, some pillar or something. And the next time when Qasim Sahib came out and quickly said, Assalamu alaikum. So these are all things that we think no big deal, but the people of the past, they understood that salam is very, very important. And all the etiquettes of salam also very important. So let us say salam, let us say it to every Muslim we see, and let us try to initiate the salam. And if someone says salam to us, they say it first, then we must reply with salam. Because then to reply is compulsory. Here we should also mention that the same rule applies in writing. When you are writing to someone, it is the first text of the conversation, the first email of the conversation. Say assalamu alaikum. And ideally say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My teacher and Shaykh Azam Mawla Salim Sahib, Hafizahullah, he says that for some reason, the only thing we can find to shorten in our text is assalamu alaikum. To AWW. Everything else is written properly. Or it is written, and the only thing that we can find to abbreviate is assalamu alaikum. Whereas on the phone, once you type it in once, then the phone has a memory. So it's not even difficult. So a person should make a habit. He should make a habit of writing it all. And similarly, if someone says assalamu alaikum, if someone texts you assalamu alaikum, then to reply is compulsory. To reply to the salam is compulsory. So you can either reply verbally when you read the text, or you can reply in writing. But to reply is compulsory. That is the first place when we meet someone. The second place where we should pay particular attention to saying salam is when we enter the home. Because Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Anas radiallahu anhu that when you enter the home, then make sure you say salam. Why? Because it will become a means of barakah and blessing to your entire household. Nowadays there are so many problems in our home. There are disputes, people don't get along with each other, there is a difficulty in sustenance and so many other problems. So little things like this will go a long way. That if everyone in the house makes a habit that when they enter the house, they say assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Then this will slowly but surely, barakah will come into that home. And it's a home when you enter a gathering. In fact, once a person came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came with a gift. Someone else had sent him, he came with a gift. Hazrat Kalda radiallahu. And he came and he presented the gift. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go back out and come back in and say assalamu alaikum. To teach him. So that is the second place, when we enter the home. And the third place where we need to make a habit of saying salam is when we leave. When we leave a person, we have had a conversation, we are leaving. We are leaving the home. This is also a place to say salam. In the hadith of Bayhaqi Sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that this second salam is just as important as the first salam. Usually people pay attention to the salam of greeting. If they do, but they don't pay attention to the second salam. So these are a few points regarding salam. Let us give this particular importance and bring it into our life, and also encourage others to do so. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice what has been said. Ameen wa khalda'an, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Inshallah, from next week, this gathering of ours will be after Isha, because Maghrib will start falling into Maktab time.